Today's scripture readings come from Isaiah and Galatians. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. So let us not go weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. The word of God for the people of God.
Friends, did you see what just happened? Four young people just stood in front of this community and said yes to a life with God. Let's stay there for a minute, because that is no small thing. Amen? Amen. In a world that tells them to brand themselves, protect themselves, and look out for themselves, four teenagers just let themselves be claimed by a story bigger than their own. They let water be poured over their head and promises be spoken over their lives. Today, in front of all of us, God said to them what God once said through the prophet Isaiah. I made you. I know you. I call you by name. You are mine. And we said back, we will walk with you. It's a beautiful thing. Through baptism, we are assured of God's love for us. Before we can get our act together, before we understand faith, before we prove anything, God's claim of our belovedness comes first. But baptism doesn't stop there. In that same breath that God says, you are mine, God also says, you are sent. Sent to live as Christ's hands in the world. Sent to give your life to something larger than your own comfort or success. Sent to join the long, beautiful, messy work of doing good together. So to our four newly baptized, today is not just about what God has done for you. It's also about what you will do through God. And to the rest of us who have already passed through the water, this is our reminder. We haven't just been loved, we've been called. That is exactly what Paul is saying to the little church in Galatia. They were tired and conflicted, pulled in different directions about who belonged and what real faith looked like. When Paul writes like a pastor who loves them, you are free in Christ, but your freedom is not for yourself. Don't turn on each other. Don't give up. Use your freedom to work for the good of all, especially the family of faith. Their baptism doesn't just mark them as beloved, it sends them out to keep doing what is right, especially when they're weary. That's a tall order in a world that can be exhausting. It's easy to get stuck in the part of Isaiah that feels like deep water and fire. It's easy to feel overwhelmed and angry and tired. Recently, my friend, the Reverend Cameron Trimble, told a story about a woman named Lynn Twist. Lynn was a teacher by training who, as a young mother, got involved in the Hunger Project, almost by accident. That invitation turned her into a global activist, a fundraiser, and an author, who has now spent decades working to end hunger and protect the earth alongside some of the world's most vulnerable communities. She has been in some of the hardest places on earth, places of famine and war and environmental destruction. She has seen enough to justify a lifetime of outrage. It would be easy to imagine that Lynn's motivation for this work was shaped by that outrage, always fighting, always reacting, always exhausted. It would look noble from the outside. But what actually shapes her life is not reaction. She is drawn by a vision. She has given her life to commitments that she knows she will not complete. For Lynn, a committed life is not something that you finish, it's something that organizes you. It tells you where to go, who to stand with, what to build, and what to refuse. That is different, do you hear that, from simply reacting to what is wrong. It is living from what must become. Friends, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've got a lot to be upset about in the world today. Anybody feel that a little bit? Anybody wake up this morning again and they're like, oh, really? Come on. We watch war grind on and new violence erupt. We feel the climate shifting in our own seasons, and we worry about the world and the earth our kids are inheriting. We see people struggling amidst rising costs and economic uncertainty. There are constant attacks on immigrants, on LGBTQ plus neighbors, on women's and trans bodies, and it grieves us because it cuts against everything we believe about human dignity. We wonder, we worry if our democracy can hold under the forces of this authoritarian regime mixed with no short supply of white Christian nationalism. But our anger is not the enemy. It's a signal. It lets us know when something that we care about is being hurt. It shows us what we love. In that way, anger acts as a guardian, standing up for what matters and refusing to let it be harmed without a response. That's not something that we should get rid of. But a guardian can't be your whole life. If anger takes over, it starts to fight everything. It goes looking for battles because that's what it knows. It can forget what it was trying to protect in the first place. You can sense when this happens, when everything feels like something to fight, your temper flares, your imagination shrinks, and you end up reacting instead of creating. This is the shift that Lynn is talking about when she calls herself a pro-activist. Being a pro-activist means letting your heartbreak and your anger show you what you love, and then staying focused on that. It means letting what you're for become your starting point. Lynn says a conscious leader is committed to something way larger than their own life, to a stand or to a vision they know they can't accomplish in their lifetime, so their life becomes a contribution to a continuum rather than just their identity. That kind of commitment requires more than reaction. It requires imagination, As bell hooks wrote, what we cannot imagine cannot come into being. If we can't name the world we want, we'll just keep circling what we oppose and reacting to the same patterns instead of building something new. Over the last couple of weeks at Hamlin Church, we have been talking about modern day prophets. We have heard from a couple of powerful voices in our community leaders, but when I ask myself, where is the greatest concentration of prophets that I actually know? My honest answer is right here at Hamlin Church. This is a community full of prophetic witness in ways big and small, full of people who refuse to give up on what must become, who keep showing up because your lives are rooted in the call to be a part of what is good. We see it every week in this community, in the ways that we live out our call to be sanctuary for the city. We see it in the ways that we welcome children and youth and college students showing up so they know that they are loved and that their questions matter. We see it around Wednesday night dinners and community meals and coffee hour and out at the brick oven and over at the dining hall where we cook and serve and make sure no one eats alone. We see it in worship itself week after week as we pray and sing and break bread together. We see it as we care for immigrants, feed the hungry, advocate for justice, serve in creation care through Sprout Garden and Earth Keepers, and in the quiet ministries of hospitality and meals and visits and prayers that hold this community together. And we see it in the ways that you live your faith beyond the walls of this church as compassionate and caring people of faith. So I want to pause today and simply say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who teaches and bakes and sings and stacks chairs and tends gardens and washes dishes and hosts small groups, rocks babies, and shows up at late night meetings and holds this church in prayer. You are not just helping out. You are offering your lives as part of something bigger than any one of us. You are living the kind of committed life that Lynn describes, right here, in this neighborhood, in this community, that God has given us to love. And that, friends, is baptismal life. None of this happens by accident. It happens because in big and small ways you have quietly said, my life is going to be a part of this. My time, my energy, my gifts, my money, they're going to help shape something good that I may never see completed. This is the kind of committed life that Lynn is talking about, and it is exactly the life that baptism calls us into. A life that is beloved, sent, and organized around doing good together. In baptism, God says unequivocally, you are mine, you are not alone in the waters. And in the same breath, God entrusts us with the work of doing good together. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, summed up the Methodist way of life with three simple rules: do no harm, do good, and stay in love with God. In fact, we know he's attributed to him, do all the good that you can, right? In all the ways you can, in all the places you can, in all the times you can, to all the people you can. Doing good was never meant to be a solo project. We do good together because we can carry more when we have each other, and because we need one another when we start to grow weary. Friends, we have seen more than our fair share of hard times, especially in recent months here in Minnesota. and every day the news of the world is bleak. Our temptation is to let the bleakness and the anger become our whole identity, to get stuck in everything is terrible and forget what we are for. Or we can let our anger be the guardian that points us back to what we love, and then choose together to love the world on purpose. We don't have to make this up on our own. Our faith has already given us a path, a way of loving God and neighbor, a promise that God is with us in the deep waters, a baptismal calling that orients us toward what we must become, and a community that helps us keep on doing good together. For our four newly baptized, and for all of us, the invitation is the same. Let your heartbreak show you what you love. Let what you love guide where you stand and what you build. And let your life be a part of something larger than your lifetime. And trust that in it all, God is with us, calling us by name, sending us out, and gathering us back at this table again and again and again to be renewed for the work of doing good together in building the kingdom of love, peace, and joy. Thanks be to God. Amen.